All right, good evening. So, welcome to this, our last Lenten service. The message tonight will be about Judas. He was a very good subject because Lent is meant to focus all of us on repentance. We may not consider that anything we have done is as bad as the action Judas took. We may think the plotting and conniving in the mind of Judas can never be duplicated by us, but we must consider not how we feel about our transgressions, but rather how Jesus feels about them. So we do thank you, Justin, for bringing us this message about Judas, and we do thank Stephanie for being at the piano again tonight, as well as Lisa. Our first song this evening is Rock of Ages, which is a plea for cleansing from the guilt and power of sin. It explicitly rejects salvation by human effort with the words, "Not the labors of my hands." And it emphasizes the double cure, that Christ saves us from both the penalty and power of sin. The hymn draws from Exodus 33:22, Moses on the rock, from Psalm 18:2, God is my rock, and 1 Corinthians 10:4, the rock was Christ. Let's stand up. Another song we'll share this evening is Amazing Grace, which was written in 1772 by John Newton, an English slave ship captain turned Anglican clergyman. He wrote it as a personal reflection on redemption and divine mercy. The hymn later became a staple of American spiritual music, particularly in the 19th century South, to express hope and transformation, highlighting Newton's journey from wretch to a man of faith.
I once was lost.
And our responsive reading is from Psalm 97. Help us, O God, our Savior.
For the glory of your name.
Deliver us and forgive our sins.
For your name's sake.
Then we, your people,
the sheep of your pasture,
will praise you forever.
From generation to generation, we will recount your praise.
Please pray with me. Lord, this Lenten season is meant to remind us of our complete dependence on you for the cleansing we need from sin. There is no one else than you to bring us forgiveness and cleanse us from that sin. Remind us that you are just a breath away. After we inspire our breath to speak, may we then expire our breath to acknowledge you, to ask for your forgiveness, and to pledge our lives to you. We come to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Justin.
Good evening. How is everybody today? Everybody enjoy the good weather?
Yeah.
It looks like a roller coaster the next 10 days, so up, down, up, down, up, down. But I got a picture today from a coworker. He saw a corn planter in the field today. So season has started. I work in agronomy, so it's always a little nerving to get that first picture of somebody in the field, and somebody's got to be first, right? So I titled tonight's message, Judas, A Life Wasted. And we'll get into that, but I chose the scripture from Matthew 26, I believe 14 through 16, but then I'm pulling a few more. And it says, for this paragraph, it says, Judas agrees to betray Jesus. Then the one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you?" So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver, and from then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. And then we go on as Jesus is in the upper room. At the Last Supper, Jesus replies, they were very sad and began to say to him one after other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." And they're pointing fingers, "It's not me, is it me?" Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him to have not been born." And then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." And Jesus said to him, "You have said so." And, we know the rest of the story. And when Becky and I were talking when we first did this, she had asked me about this, and she brought up the idea of giving a message about Judas, and I said, "Well, I'll give it a shot." And, Judas was picked as one of the 12, right? He got to spend 3 years with Jesus. How amazing is that, right? So that's why I titled it A Life Wasted. Because he got to spend 3 years with our Lord and Savior, and then he screwed up. From all accounts that I've researched, and we'll get into it a little bit, but Judas really screwed up because he could have repented after he turned Jesus over to the guards and the Pharisees, but he didn't. He took that silver. He wanted to give it back, but he didn't really repent. He just ran away and ended up committing suicide by hanging. But he could have been with Jesus in eternity by just saying, I'm sorry, Lord. You know, Jesus forgives us of all of our sins. We've talked on and on about through this Lenten, and it's been a pleasure to come here, and I thank you for this opportunity. But, you know, no matter how far we are from Christ, we're just one step away to come back. And Judas didn't take that one step. So a life wasted. And we talk about Judas, just give you a little background on him. You know, he's typically remembered as the one who betrayed Jesus. I wouldn't want that moniker on me of saying, well, there's the one that screwed up and betrayed Jesus. Totally don't want that one. And he probably didn't either, but he really didn't know what he was getting into. You know, it talks about, there's an account in Luke, you know, where the devil got into him or came upon him. But we have our own free will, and Judas chose not to say no to the devil. But Judas Iscariot is typically remembered as the one who betrayed Jesus, and he was one of the 12. He had to spend 3 years, right? He lived and followed Jesus for 3 years, and they actually had him as their money carrier. And so, you know, he was kind of in charge of the group's finances, you know, kind of a trusted position. They trusted Judas, but I think it's in Luke, there's an account that they thought maybe Judas was dipping into the kitty a little bit for himself, but we'll leave that for another day. But and Judas was really a common name in that area, so they always referenced him Judas Iscariot. And then when we talk about, you know, Judas was in charge of the money, well, money was really important to Judas. He thought, you know, we can't keep doing this. This is going to cost too much. You know, when Jesus goes to feed the 5,000, they say, we don't have the money to do this. You know, of course, Jesus can do anything, right? He takes those fish and multiplies them in the bread and multiplies that. You know, he feeds them. But Judas really is that, as we look, you know, a lot of the apostles were examples to follow, right? Would everybody agree with that? We'd want to follow John and Mark, Luke, and Paul after his conversion from Saul. But Judas is probably that non-example that we really don't want to follow. Even though he loved Jesus, Jesus loved him, Jesus chose him. Jesus probably knew at that time, even when he chose to fulfill prophecy, that he was going to be the one that would turn him over. But he still chose him. He still loved him. But then, he screwed up. You know, Judas could have had eternal life. And when we look at that, he turned it over for 30 pieces of silver. And I Googled what that would be worth today. Of course, nobody knows, like, you know, the archaeological or historical pieces, the value of that, but they must not have been very heavy pieces of silver, but it only came up to like $1,200. But I think the price of silver is a little higher than that, but that's what Google told me today. So he turned over Jesus, our Lord and Savior, for $1,200. Doesn't seem like very much. Even if it was worth, you know, today's value of silver, I think is like $6,000 an ounce. I'm not positive, but it's up there. I mean, it's pretty high anyway. And maybe that's per pound. But either way, it doesn't seem like a lot of money to turn our Lord and Savior over to the Pharisees, to his death, for that little bit of amount of money. But, you know, maybe there was other motives. There was a lot of talk, you know, when people thought the Messiah was coming to them, was born, that nobody really thought he was going to become as a baby and then come here to be a peaceful Messiah, peaceful king, you know, king of his people, to lead them to their eternal life. They thought the Messiah was coming. It was going to be a new king. He was going to overthrow Rome. And that's what Judas wanted. He wanted to have this revolt. Let's get rid of this Roman kingdom. That's revolt. And he was kind of angry about that. So maybe that's why he chose to throw Jesus under the bus. But really, you know, the wheels kind of fell off the bus for old Judas. While Matthew attributes Judas's motivation directly to money, you know, there was others that talks about how he was upset that, you know, Jesus wasn't going to be that king. He wasn't going to lead the revolt to overthrow that Roman Empire because they thought Rome was no good. And, you know, when we read about some of the Roman soldiers, they're a pretty rough, crude group. But you know, we know the whole story that Jesus came to save us from our sins. So, and then another, talk about, you know, a tragic apostle. You know, he was still handpicked by Jesus. You know, and he had everything handed to him. He had to follow that time, and then he screws up. It was a divine plan, and he had free will, and he acted upon his free will, and, well, we know how that goes as well. And then, you know, he could have had the opportunity to repent. You know, we say, you know, give it to the Lord, ask for forgiveness. He chose remorse and ran away, threw the bag of silver back to the high priests and wanted to, you know, get Jesus back. But, you know, they said, no, we don't want your money. But, you know, and then he runs and commits suicide, hangs himself, but he didn't seek forgiveness. He just fell into despair. You know, and sin can drive us to that. You know, when you talk about, you know, we think, oh, we're not good enough. We're not good enough to ask for forgiveness. We're not good enough to follow Jesus. But really, it doesn't matter how down and out we are. We can follow Jesus and ask for that repentance and give him and ask for forgiveness because he is so amazing. He has so much love for us. But we want to follow and be like the other apostles and not be Judas. So Judas is our non-example of what to be. But when we look at, you know, he still, you know, was loved by him. And I, you know, I repeat that, but I find it amazing, you know, you talk, I lead a men's Bible study, and we're in Acts right now, but I say, why does, you know, we bring up, why did Jesus choose Judas? Well, in the Old Testament, it talks about, you know, fulfilling or the prophecy that he would be turned over by man. Well, Judas was that guy to fulfill that prophecy. It had to be done. Jesus, you know, could have came and brought his legion of army of angels to get him out of that predicament that he was in after Judas's kiss and gets handed over, but he didn't. He took it to the cross for us, and it's just absolutely amazing. You know, and then we talk, you know, Judas, his act of betrayal. Like I said, for a very small price, and I don't trade coins, but to me it just doesn't seem like much money to turn over somebody as lovely and amazing as Judas, or as Jesus, excuse me. But Jesus knew that he had to fulfill the scripture. He came and he fulfills everything that was talked about in the Old Testament and brings that forward. And it just happened to be that Judas was the betrayer. He was tempted, and when we talked about don't fall to temptations, was it last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, I'm not certain, but you know, the devil and these high priests were offering these coins. That was a big temptation. We don't want to fall to those temptations because it is, you know, and it's easy to do. But, you know, and Judas fell, you know, and Satan tempted him and tempted him, and he fell to that. We don't want to be like Judas. We want to repent and give our life to the Lord to follow. And just because he loves us so much. And I, you know, when our journey, Jesus' journey to the cross this Lenten season has always makes a person think about how our own actions are. and calls us to repent, calls us to dive into the Word. And I hope that some of my messages have brought you to the Word and made a different perspective and to think about when the amount of love that Jesus has for each and every one of us. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for this opportunity to worship with this body of believers. I pray for this church. I pray for this Lenten season as we come closer to his journey to the cross, and that somebody may have decided to, it was time to bring their life to Christ. And hopefully that if we are put in that position, we can help and talk to somebody and to bring them closer to you, Lord. I pray for our country and our soldiers. And I just thank you for all the blessings you bestow upon us, Lord Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Let's pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And we'll stand together as we recite the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Our last song this evening also is going to serve as our benediction, and that song is, Create in Me a Clean Heart. These lyrics were taken directly from Psalm 51, 10 through 12, where King David pleads for a clean heart, a renewed spirit, and the restoration of joy in God's salvation. May we move now through the next several days growing closer to Christ as we experience worship to commemorate his sacrifice and resurrection. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.